Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're finally back, at least for 1 week, to our study of the book of Revelation. Remember back, if you will, to chapter 1 and that description of the Son of Man that John saw in his vision. One who was like a Son of Man, clothed with a garment reaching down to his feet, his chest girded with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like bronze, as though fired in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Remember, too, where John saw this Son of Man, holding seven stars in his right hand, walking among seven golden lampstands. And John told us at the end of chapter 1 that the stars are the angels of the seven churches, and that the lampstands are the seven churches. And so we begin in chapter 2 with the first letter to the first church, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. To the angel, that is, to the pastor of the church, because there would be no need to write a letter to the holy angels in heaven. This is the pastor of the church to whom John is to write the message Jesus wants to give to him and to his church. Now, evangelical Christians miss this simple truth, usually. They think that God simply communicates directly with each believer through music, or through feelings, or through a burden on the heart. The pastor is really just a motivational speaker or a community organizer of sorts. But according to this very simple reading from Revelations chapter 2 and 3, God has chosen to deal with his churches and give his messages to his churches through the angel of the church, through the messenger that he has called to the churches through the churches. God uses that call to turn a man into an angel, into a divinely appointed messenger, to minister to his people. And that messenger is responsible for passing on the message of the Lord to his people, and he'll have to answer for how he carries out his ministry. Write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. These are the two parts of that picture of the Son of Man that Jesus wants the church in Ephesus to focus on. That he is the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, that is, who has placed the pastors exactly where he wants them to be. They speak for him and they are responsible to him. And second, that he's present with his churches, walking among the lampstands, tending to each one, also inspecting each one. And if he chooses, he has the right and the power to remove the lampstands from their place. Well, what does his inspection of the church in Ephesus reveal? First, something to praise the pastor for, and by extension, the congregation. I know your works, both your toil and your patience, and that you cannot tolerate those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars, and that you have endured and have patience, and that for my name's sake you have toiled and have not grown weary. What did the Son of Man see as he walked among the lampstand there in Ephesus? He saw a pastor and, by extension, a congregation who was working hard. Works here includes both his toil and his patience. Toil is hard work, tiring work, meticulous work, preparing and preaching sermons, teaching, rebuking, correcting, comforting, tending to the needs of the flock. Patience is bearing up under a weight, bearing up under pressure, under persecution, under attacks from without or from within. Jesus also sees the pastor disciplining and, where necessary, excommunicating those who are evil, who fail to repent after being warned. He also sees the pastor testing other preachers who claim to be Christian preachers, who claim to be sent from God, but aren't, and exposing them for the liars that they are. He's been doing this for a while now, and he hasn't slacked off. For the sake of Jesus' name, he has patiently endured. That's good. Then a word of rebuke. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have abandoned your first love. Your first love, also translated as your former love. Some 35 years before John wrote the book of Revelation, the Apostle Paul had written this in his letter to the Ephesian Christians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Apparently, that former love had grown cold in the pastor and, by extension, in the congregation. His devotion to purity of doctrine and life had become an external thing, perfunctory, loveless. He was doing the right things, but it wasn't coming from love. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so Jesus warns him, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works. But if not, I will come to you soon, and will remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. It isn't enough to be doing some things very well. If you've abandoned love, it profits you nothing. So repent, Jesus says. Recognize the lack of love in your heart and in your words and in your deeds. Don't remain as you are. Confess your sin, receive forgiveness, and then change your behavior with the help of the Holy Spirit. Or else, Jesus will see to it that your church is removed from its place. But then another positive observation. This you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Nicolaitans, from what we can gather from church history, were a group of people who were trying to normalize sexual immorality within the Christian church. They promoted adultery, that's fine. Sex outside of marriage, that's fine. And for lack of a better term, wife swapping. Terrible sins that have become as commonplace in our culture as they were in first century Roman culture. But Christians are expected by God to be different from the surrounding culture. So even though Jesus criticizes the Ephesians for a lack of love, he praises them for their hatred of deeds that he himself hates. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Don't hear these words and fail to act on them. Don't hear these words and then go back to life as usual, as it was before. If God gave you a working ear, and sent a preacher to preach these words so that you can hear them, then hear them and change. Because it's God's own Spirit who is working through the Word to produce repentance and renewal in all who hear it and take it to heart. Finally, Jesus adds a promise. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him who overcomes, who wins the battle against the flesh and the devil and the world. That battle is won through contrition and repentance, through a renewed faith in Christ, through the forgiveness of sins, and through obedience to the Lord's message. To the one who overcomes all the way up until the end, Jesus promises that he'll be allowed to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Just as eating from the tree of life that stood in the paradise of Eden would have given Adam and Eve and their descendants eternal youth and the ability to live forever, so there will be a continual source of eternal life in the paradise of heaven for everyone who overcomes. Now, how do Jesus' words to the angel of the church in Ephesus apply to us here? Does he see works, toil, and patience? Does he see us taking seriously the doctrine that is preached from this pulpit and taught by the pastor, practicing church discipline where necessary, and excluding from our fellowship those who are impenitent or those who adhere to false doctrine? Yes, I'd say that honestly we do that more than any other church in Las Cruces. We have those things in common with the church in Ephesus. What about our first love? Is our faith toward God and our love for one another and for our neighbor in general as strong as it has ever been? Or has our attention to good works, doctrine, and life grown somewhat external, dry, and loveless? Well, first I need to examine myself as the angel of the church here, and after that, if I see signs of this lack of love in any of you, the Lord commands me to rebuke you for it, gently where gentleness is appropriate, and more harshly if harshness is called for. And if such lovelessness does exist, and I can't see it because I can only see the outside, remember that the Lord Jesus, with his penetrating eyes that are like a flame of fire, can see it. So examine yourselves, and if you see a lack of love in yourself, a lack of genuine concern and devotion to your fellow Christians, including the Christians within your own family, then repent urgently, sincerely, and turn to the Lord for forgiveness, and ask him for his help, and then go forward in the renewal of the Holy Spirit, determined to let both love for the truth and love for God's people rule your heart and your life. Here is God's Spirit giving you all the words and the warnings, the encouragement and the strength that you need to stand firm in the faith and to be renewed in love, so that you may be among those who overcome and who are given to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.